Hello, everybody. Welcome to a end of the season episode of the Bills Wire podcast presented to you by USA Today, SMG. My name is Matt Johnson, your host alongside Jeremy. Jeremy, welcome back. How are you doing? I know you were down there in Houston for that that game on Saturday, and yeah, it's it wasn't a very fun ending for you, I'm sure.
No, there were plenty of Bills fans, though. It was a pretty much, you know, a typical Bills raid on an opposing city. So that was fun to be a part of and to witness and to take part in. It was, you know, the Bills don't make the playoffs that often, Matt, so you have to travel when you can.
And, oh, 100%.
Tried to make the most of it. I will say, I guess, I don't know how other Bills fans who attended felt, but you know, we had a good section of Texans fans welcoming us to Texas, and they were very hospitable. And the stadium, man, I have to say, was gorgeous. I can see why they hosted a Super Bowl there. It's spacious. The concourses are clean and wide, like wide hallways. So it's a really, really sweet stadium. It's next to the old Astrodome. It sits right next to that. Cool. So it was kind of neat to see that. I kind of want to take a tour through there. I don't even know what they use it for, to be honest. It just looks like this empty building. But great tailgate scene. As usual, Bills Mafia showed up. And, yeah, the game, I'm sure we'll get into that in a little bit here. But outside of it, just being down in Texas was a great time. And, you know, kind of wrapping up the season, unfortunately, down there. But it was good to see Bills fans in full force, and glad I was a part of it.
No, that's a special experience. It is a special experience to be a part of. I've heard good things about Houston Stadium. They're, you know, especially their fans. They actually have a pretty great fan base, I'm not going to lie. Not very rowdy. Most of them are pretty good, which is not a bad thing. So I'm glad you got to experience that hospitality. I think it's the correct word for that. But yeah, you know, I think this game against Houston on last Saturday was almost the perfect, I don't know if the phrase, alliteration.
Microcosm of the season, really.
Yeah, it was, man. The highs were high, man. They were good. They were really good. And then the lows were, it was pretty low, you know, by the end of the evening. As we all know well by now that, you know, Houston pulled it out in, you know, 19 unanswered points. And, yeah, it was a very unfortunate ending to a otherwise very refreshing season, I think, for a lot of us, the people on the media side of things, the fans. It was nice, man. You just felt – everything just felt differently around here in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And that's probably what I'm most happy about. You got to see it everywhere. You know, I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I was covering a high school wrestling tournament around here, and I've been around high school wrestling in Western New York since about 2004. And this was like the first time that, like, in the middle of a wrestling tournament, people are just talking about the Bills, right? Because Bills don't really play meaningful football in December. It's been a long time since they had. I mean, yeah, granted, they went to the postseason 2 years ago, but not to the extent that it was this year. And it was just really cool vibe to be a part of that. You see it everywhere around Western New York. And that's probably what I'm most – it's a great thing. It's a great sign. I'm happy to have lived that and been a part of that and almost had a taste of what the glory years used to be like.
Well, I'm glad you brought up or just kind of – approached your analysis of the game from that lens, because you know, I think the game at this point is pretty much, you know, we could analyze it as much as we want, but I think everything that has been said about it is our listeners probably already know about. But you know, I will say, just being in the stadium and having my perspective, you know, when the Bills went up 16-0, I turned to my friend, who ironically is also named Matt, and I told him, I said, this isn't enough. Like, we got to get to 20. You know, you got to get to 20, 24 points, and you can win. They need another touchdown, and they just never could do it. So when they only went up 16, and that was the score at the end of the half, I said, like, we need to get another touchdown here in the third quarter to put this game away, and then I'll feel confident. And they can never do it. And after the J.J. Watt sack, that got a lot of momentum in the stadium. I mean, the stadium, just the lid, I thought was going to blow off the top of that stadium because of that, you know, just the fan reaction from the Texans faithful there. Really turned the momentum, and he got the crowd into it, and Deshaun Watson kind of took over in the second half. And you just kind of saw it snowball, and my friend and I, we just sat back in our chairs and just, we knew it was coming. Like, we knew it was coming from the mid third quarter. I was trying to say, we just need one guy, you know, a couple players to just make a play, and they can never do it. And it was sad because I could see it all unfold and play out in my mind before it actually happened. And I think for a lot of fans that were there, felt the same way. And then what was so crazy, I will say, share this, you know, the Texans fans were already starting to sing like the goodbye song, you know, na 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 na, hey, oh, they're already starting to sing that. So they're singing that right after the Allen sack, and we stopped them on fourth and one, get the ball back. And it was like, oh, we actually have a chance here to kick a field goal and send this game into overtime. So they thought it was over. I think, you know, we all probably thought it was over too. We just sat there in disbelief. But the Bills, you know, give them credit. They never gave up. They forced overtime. But again, what really hurt this team all season was not able to score three or more touchdowns consistently from its offense. You know, it would be two touchdowns and a couple field goals, or mostly field goals and one touchdown for the majority of the season. And, you know, you're just not going to win enough games. You might be in enough games because the defense is that good. And this was addressed in the offseason, you know, press conference with Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, and they recognize that they need more points. But yeah, Saturday, that was tough. And I think, like I said, I think all Bills fans there saw what was coming when it was still only a two-score game. And it was, can someone just score another touchdown, please, from somewhere? So we were just really grasping on, you know, holding on for dear life. And, you know, it was incredible that the Texans did convert both of those two-point conversions as well. They yeah. had to do that in addition to just scoring twice on that defense. So I'm not going to get in really to the referee calls. I think the biggest play of the game for me was in overtime when Josh Allen took the sweep around the right end, and three Bills blockers out in front missed the would-be tackler and was the guy who made the play on Allen to only get a few yards on the play. And that's made its way around social media too, just those screenshots of that. But I saw that play from behind, and I thought that was going to be like another 30, 40-yard gain and get maybe a touchdown, just like his first quarter run.
Yeah.
You know, got him going. And that guy, I mean, he made a great play, but there were three Bills out there. I think it was Mitch Morse, maybe Feliciano, and not Tyler Croft. I think it was the other tight end there.
Knox.
Dawson Knox, who did not make that tackle. Or did I make that block, I should say. And what I think happened, and this has happened back when I played too, you when you're pulling like that or when you're out in front, you sometimes leave a guy because you know another guy is coming behind you to pick him up.
Right.
And I think it was one of those deals where, all right, I'm going to get out in front and take the next guy because I know so-and-so behind me will pick him up. And it was like, an analogy that I thought of was, it's a pop fly and everyone says, I got it, and then nobody catches it.
That's basically what happened.
They all thought that they were gonna, you know, take that linebacker, and then nobody did, and he made the play. So I don't think it was a lack of, you know, any physical, I think it was just a mental gaffe by those three guys just not communicating who should pick that guy up. And you know, I think that's the difference of the game. You're well within field goal range if that block is picked up. I think Allen will get at least 20 more yards off that, and you're set up to win the game. So that was the play of the game for me. And what a disappointing way to end it, though, when you see that much real estate in front of you and it's all taken away like that. So rough one to end the season on, for sure.
No, without a doubt. Nobody, I mean, nobody wants to end their playoff run in that fashion. Like I said, it started off hot. They had a great start, and you know, for it to end the way that it did, it was just very, very Billsy in a way, a little bit Billsy. But nevertheless, though, you know, looking back on this 2019 season, I mean, the fans got to just they have every reason to keep their head high. You know, the take away the light schedule notion. And everything else that's happened, and you know, the fans have a legit reason to be proud of this team. You know, for their efforts this season, we've seen a lot of improvements, a lot of growth, and you know, it's going to trend upward. You know, I know they have a pretty tough schedule on paper right now heading into next year, but you know, Bills fans have every reason to be proud. This young and affordable team. These are the kind of teams that, you know, have deep playoff runs and start dynasties. These young, cheap teams with all the salary cap and this and that. You know, this is the start of this is the true start of a real trend towards Buffalo being a contender, you know, around the upper echelon, not the 7-9, 6-10, 8-8 Buffalo Bills that have really dominated this last 20 years, you know, that we've all been privy to, unfortunately. So I think there's no reason to be sad. Yeah, the ending stinks, but as long as this coaching staff, which I believe in very much so, as long as the general manager Brandon Bean continues to improve and recruit and do what he has to do to make this team work. You know, there's no reason to think that they're going to take a step back next year by any means. No reason at all. No reason at all. I think this team does progress, and yeah, got to be happy. It was just a season full of good moments. I mean, 10-6, 10 wins. When's the last time, right? It's been a long time since that. So a lot to hang their hat on and a lot to be proud of, without a doubt.
For sure. And then we look into, you know, going forward here into the off season. I think it's obvious, and I've stated before in my comments just prior to you taking over, Matt, but the fact that the offense just needs to be better. And
yeah,
I don't know where that begins. I don't know if it is another receiver, if it is another running back to complement Devin Singletary. I'm not sure about Frank Gore's future, but, you know, these are all the things to ponder the next year and to kind of look out for and see, you know, get to play general manager a little bit to see how Brandon Bean continues to, as he said, surround Josh with more weapons or better pieces to make him a better quarterback. I think if you bring back the exact same offensive line, the exact same set of receivers and just, you know, Singletary and nobody, you know, really else to Frank Gore, you know, if you just brought back the same band, I'm not really sure you're progressing at all. No. You're still going to be, I think, the team that scores one touchdown and, you know, a few field goals a game. And I think they should strive for more. I do think they need a true number one. I mean, it's been said so many times even throughout last year where this team just lacks a big number one stud on the outside. And, you know, I was talking with my buddy, like, you need studs. You need all pros. You need Pro Bowl players to be good in this league. It's trending towards, you know, all-star players making a difference, not just at the quarterback position. I mean, you know, look around the league. If you have studs, you have true bona fide players that are league-wide studs, you're going to have a much better chance of advancing in the playoffs.
No, I 100% agree with that. You know, as far as the wide receivers go, you know, was I happy with John Brown this year? Absolutely. Was I happy with Cole Beasley this year? Absolutely. Yep. But as you know, when it comes to that wide receiver position, it's got to be a bona fide stud. It can't be these, you know, these guys who have been I'm not going to say middle of the road, but they've never been the true number one in former teams. You know, a standout head and shoulders number one on other teams, those guys aren't going to be, you know, those guys aren't really going to make a difference. Usually, like San Francisco right now is a weird case where I couldn't really tell you who their wide receiver one is. You know, it almost like in the same respect as the Bills, but yeah, it's got to be weapon. It's got to be somebody that comes out of the draft that just kind of takes over and you know, does great things, which, you know, it seems to happen every year. It's just Buffalo really hasn't had that much success in doing that. And I think that the wide receiver position is definitely one of the things that they should target very early in this upcoming draft. You know, earlier this year, maybe about a month or so ago, you made a case for them to try and acquire Odell Beckham Jr., which I found very interesting when talks of him not sticking around in Cleveland were heating up. And, you know, there's a lot of different avenues that Buffalo can go in this regard. You know, I don't have the list of free agents in front of me, but, you know, Buffalo has stock right now, draft capital and money, and, you know, they have a lot of salary cap and they can make things happen. It's a matter of whether they pursue it and you know, make moves, really.
Yeah, and you mentioned San Francisco, but they have George Kittle, right? He might not be a wide receiver, but he's a bona fide, like, you know, all pro tight end, you know, at this point, and he's known around the league as a big playmaker. I think that's what I mean. They just need someone who can be that big time pass catcher. I don't care if he's a tight end or a wide receiver. Most of the good teams have guys who, you know, are household names, and the Bills just don't have too many of those guys right now. And I get that they're trying to build a culture. I get that they're trying to bring the right guys in, but, you know, Larry Fitzgerald's a great guy off the field, but, you know, he was on the Cardinals back when they were, you know, contenders, and he was a stud back in his, you know, prime, and he's still playing. But, you know, you can find good guys who are also number one, you know, players, and still, you know, have the culture that you're looking to set out for. So, you know, that's kind of what I don't need AB to be here. If, you know, I don't need Odell Beckham to be here, but I do want someone like, you know, like a Larry Fitzgerald, you know, in his prime, you know, whether that's Amari Cooper in Dallas, who's a free agent. I don't know what his, you know, deal is off the field necessarily, but, you know, you just need somebody that Josh can trust and that Josh can continue to build a relationship with, because I thought he made a lot of strides this year, Josh Allen. We've gone through, I think, 20 minutes already talking, and we haven't even brought up Josh Allen all that much.
But
I thought he had a great 2019. You know, I thought he did a lot of really good things, especially after the mistakes he made in the first New England contest. I think he stepped up, and, you know, this has been analyzed over the last several days too, and talked about by Bean and McDermott. But I think Bills fans should feel really good having him, you know, pull the trigger. Does he make kind of bonehead plays at times? Yeah, but he's being a competitor, and I'm totally in agreement with, you know, Brandon Bean when he said that he doesn't want check down Charlie or whatever he called it in his press conference. No, I totally want the gunslinger. You know, yeah, I want the
it makes things Brett Favre. Exciting. That's how you break. I mean, that's the difference between teams like the Bills right now and, you know, teams like your Green Bay Packers and your Kansas Cities and Baltimore's, you know, those guys who can make those big plays when you need them to. That's really the difference, you know, between and yeah, Josh has progressed like a lot. I'm proud. I'm going to admit the first year, last year, 2018, I was not like sold on him at the end of the year. Of course, I knew I had to give him time. But I think he has developed into some potential. He did make some boneheaded plays. You know, that one was almost disastrous against Houston. I think it was in the fourth quarter with like a minute left, and he was running, took off for a big run, and then he threw the ball sideways as if to keep the play going. And I was a little baffled by that. But, I mean, that all comes with time. Like, he has made smarter plays, you know, going forward. Like, I'm happy with Josh Allen. You know, if he keeps progressing the way that he did this year, next year should be even more significant of a growth for him.
Agreed. Yeah, I'm actually excited for this offseason because I want to see Bean take care of a lot of the players that they've developed and that they've drafted and that want to stick around and stay here. But I'm also equally as interested into who they can bring in here to really help propel this offense forward, because they're going to do, you know, they're going to all sit down as a staff. They're going to sit down as a management team, you know, in the coming days, and they're going to review where can we improve. And they already know it's the offense. So what are they going to do? What are they going to do on the offensive line? Is, you know, Cody Ford going to start at right tackle, or do they want to pencil him in there? Are they going to move him down to guard? Are they going to re-sign Quentin Spain? Are they going to bring back Frank Gore? Who will be the complement to Devin Singletary, presumably? And will they get a pass catcher or two that can really help Josh Allen, you know, get more weapons? I'm not dismissing the defense entirely, but I almost am, because you want to think that that side of the ball is going to be at least decent next year, with a lot of returners coming back and with a, you know, full plethora of draft picks. I think you can add an influx of youth into that defense if you need to, but you can also, you know, you've got guys waiting in the wings like a Jaquan Johnson and stuff like that. You have good depth already. So who are they going to bring in as starters, and are they going to get somebody who's a household name that we all go, okay, there it is. That's the guy, or those are the two are the guys that are going to really help this offense go from averaging 17 or 19 points a game to 24, 25 points a game and actually, you know, win games more by more than just a field goal or 6 points. You know, maybe we can have more, you know, two score wins next year and see just an offense, you know, take over a game. I tweeted, you know, Saturday at the game about how, like, just put, you know, they need to put the dagger in, and they didn't do it. And whether that was part coaching and they backed off, or that's just because of personnel, they don't have the guys to finish. I hope that that's rectified going into 2020. Otherwise, it's going to be hard to win at a contending level, because that's where the bar is now. The bar is, all right, you made the playoffs. We expect to make the playoffs. Can you advance? And right. I think there's a lot of work done before that can happen.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, can you win the AFC East? You know, that's going to be a big question going into next year with all this confusion and uneasiness as to what the Patriots dynasty is going to look like. You know, so much stuff with Tom Brady. Yeah, can you win the division for the first time in this millennium? Is a big question. Can you advance? And the thing that I think the Bills have to their advantage this year is that they're on a trajectory. I guess 2 years ago when the Bills went to the playoffs with what they had, Doug Whaley and several others colluding to build what we had in 2017, when they made the postseason and, you know, lost to Jacksonville, they have direction. They're going up. They're not going to be stripping this team down from what it was, turning over the roster, which I think is that goes to their advantage. You know, that's not to say that they don't collapse next year, which hopefully that doesn't happen. But, you know, obviously it's everything's trending upward. Like, there's a high ceiling. They know what they got to do to improve. And, you know, barring any major setbacks, surprise retirements, perhaps, you know, they are on pace to continue to improve. Again, the direction, it's pieces now, not large groups. Is what they need to improve. Where 2 years ago, we were like, okay, we didn't even know who the next quarterback was going to be for Buffalo. The offensive line was terrible. It was pretty much LeSean McCoy as the entire offense. And the defense played pretty well, you know, of course, but it wasn't anything like what it is today. So now we can magnify the what's wrong. Well, Buffalo can magnify what's wrong. And yeah, I think it makes the offseason a little bit easier for this staff.
For sure. Hey, so before we kind of wrap up this episode, I'm sure you and I will be on multiple times as the offseason progresses through, you know, any big news I'm sure we'll hop on for, or any monumental, dates, you know, with the combine and so forth going forward in the offseason. I'm sure we'll jump back on and, give Bills fans other episodes. But before I get off this one, I just want to take a moment. I'm not sure that he would even listen to our podcast. Why would he? He's a busy man. But Lorenzo Alexander, just want to say, utmost class as a professional football player, and really great with the community. Obviously, we know that, being the Walter Payton Man of the Year honoree twice in a row. But I got a chance to catch up with him last year before the Super Bowl, and he didn't have to take the time to do that, and he came on our podcast, and I know he does a lot of media, or fulfills a lot of media requests, and is always there for, hustlers like you and I, just doing this for fun or doing this for, our organizations. And he's always been there to, just offer his time. And I just want to say, good luck to him in his retirement, and kudos on an excellent career. What he's done for the city is pretty unmatched in a lot of ways, and what he continues to do in the communities in Oakland and in Buffalo and around the country. I just want to, just do a quick shout out to Lorenzo and say thank you and congratulations on an excellent career.
No, excellent. And it's very, very well said. Lorenzo, he's quickly turned into almost the face of this team in a way, from a community perspective and on the field. And I'm glad that you said that. And I'm excited because he did say he still wants to be a part of this Buffalo community, which says a lot about him and his time here with us. And yeah, just very, very fortunate to have a guy like him come through one Bills drive and, put on that Buffalo Bills jersey. It's really cool to see. We seem to get these great, characters, every now and then. And I'm glad Lorenzo is one of those guys.
Yeah, joins Kyle Williams retiring the year before. Great guys leaving the organization. It's tough to replace those types of men in the locker room. But I'm glad he was on the Bills. I'm glad he's involved in the Buffalo community and a great man, a great football player too. The way that he came into the league as a defensive tackle and leaving as one of the better special teams players in the league and really was a solid linebacker for this team, making its turnaround on the defense since he's been here. It's quite the story, and I think he'll be a beloved Bill for a very, very long time.
I think so too. I think someday maybe that the Wall of Fame here at New Era Field, hopefully. But yeah, I think that just about does it for our season wrap up. Jeremy, is there anything you wanted to add before we close up? On top of that.
No, I think that's a good way to end it, with Lorenzo. But like I mentioned, we'll hop on here occasionally as news breaks or as monumental dates on the calendar creep up on us, and we'll have kind of reaction and maybe even preview some things that come up here in the off season. And it's sad to say it's the off season, but it is. And enjoy the rest of the playoff games, everybody. And whoever's in the Super Bowl, we know it won't be the Patriots. So amen to that. So I think people will enjoy this year's Super Bowl a little bit more. And is there a team, Matt, that you're rooting for? Or, kind of two teams that you'd like to see go head to head here as we wrap up?
Oh, man. I'm a big fan of underdogs. So, yeah, I'm liking what Minnesota's doing on the NFC side of things. I'm not going to lie. I think they play well, they have the talent to reach the Super Bowl. Whether they do or not, obviously, it remains to be seen. They got a tough matchup against San Fran. But, I've actually had fun watching Tennessee as well. I'm not going to lie. This rebound, I know the Bills spanked them earlier this year. And, I like a good redemption story. Well, not really. Well, okay, they beat him. Well, they beat him at least. Not spanked him, but they beat him. But I've been having fun watching like Ryan Tannehill's kind of redemption story here. He's had a really solid year, and he's changed a lot. He's changed Titans football.
Derrick Henry's a beast.
He's a freak. And I loved, like, just watching Vrabel I had fun watching Vrabel troll Belichick with the with the punt and running time off the clock, and
sure.
I thought it was hilarious. Yeah. And I think that's a real reason to get behind them. But yeah, I'm rooting for the underdogs. Probably won't happen, but if I had to say one of the top teams, I would definitely pull for Kansas City. I think I'd like to see Andy Reid get the big one finally.
Yeah, I was going to say I like Kansas City. I do like the Tennessee story, but I'm definitely on the Chiefs Kingdom bandwagon here. Would obviously love to see them take down Houston next week, or this week, this upcoming week. So, yeah, I'm liking the Chiefs, and they were kind of slept on. I felt like kind of midway through the year because they weren't putting up the gaudy numbers that they had a year prior. But I do like Kansas City and the AFC still. I know Baltimore's there, but I think Kansas City's defense just might be good enough to, you know, make it a fun. I think that's the AFC Championship game is Baltimore Kansas City, but so I'll put KC in a close shootout there, and then on the NFC side, I think Green Bay, and it's been proven that they're not a real good 12-4 team. So I'm not sure what to expect from Green Bay this year, who've had kind of an interesting season, even though they have what looks like a great record. So I don't like them. I do like San Francisco a lot, although I don't see San Francisco like doing it this year so fast.
Right.
Yeah, I definitely think they're on the rise, and I definitely think they're a team to contend with. But you know, I love what Seattle did. I think Seattle's like one of these teams that just when playoffs come around, Pete Carroll's got them ready to go, and they got Marshawn, back. So I'd love to see kind of a Seattle Kansas City Super Bowl, but I think that matchup would be really, really awesome to watch. Only one playoff team is still alive from last year, and Field Yates from ESPN pulled up that was the first time since 1990 that's been the case. So this league can change on you quickly. So we'll see what happens, but I like Kansas City and the AFC, and I like Seattle's toughness, and we'll see if they can continue their momentum after the win in Philadelphia last week.
Absolutely. Lots of very good potential Super Bowl matchups. But yes, Jeremy and myself will be back. I'm sure there's going to be a very busy offseason, lots of stuff to talk about. But that pretty much does it for today's episode, this season recap. And on behalf of Jeremy and myself, we appreciate you listening to us all season long, talking about Bills football. We appreciate the support you've given to the Bills Wire just media group as a whole, reading our articles, following us on social media. It goes a long way. We have a hardworking group of people that, they invest a lot of time and effort into giving you the best possible content that they can. But on that note, on behalf of Jeremy and I, we thank you so much. And until next time, go Bills.